You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey, it's Brother One
and Brother Two
from Two Brothers Mattress. Don't miss our huge Memorial Day sale going on now on all Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
Save up to $500 on Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
Visit one of our five stores or twobrothersmattress.com.
More afternoon news and in-depth coverage with Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Before we get to our next topic, kind of go to a whole different world, I wanted to share some of the response we got when we talked about Mr. Rogers. We talked about World Kindness Day and asked for your input. We actually got a voice message on this one, and hopefully we'll be able to, can we play that? Okay, let me read the text first. This person said, I only know one neighbor on my street of 10 houses. What better way to celebrate Mr. Rogers than to wear the cardigan and go say, hi, neighbor, and get to know some of them? I think there's a lot of people who don't know their neighbors. That seems to be a thing of the past. Boy, that's one thing that even the police tell us, is get to know your neighbors. You want a safe neighborhood? You want to cut down on the crime in your neighborhood? You want to make it a better place to live? Get to know your neighbors. And boy, how many of us do not know our neighbors? And I think we do have that sound available. We had somebody who left us a voicemail message, an idea on how things could be a little better world tomorrow. I think we've got that somewhere out there in the ether. I look into the booth. They're pushing 9 million buttons in there.
Hello, Doug. Tomorrow for Be a Little Kinder Day, I think if we all go out of our way to just meet someone at work or someone we may not know as well and reintroduce ourselves in a nice, pleasing manner, might carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, you know, really, it's really true. Just reaching out to folks, and sometimes you catch people off guard. You know, their first response sometimes when you do an overt reach out of some kind is, I wonder what he wants. And it's always amazing, you know, when you find out it's not multi-level marketing. It's not, you know, because your dog, you know, barked last night. It's not because something is happening. It's they just wanted to say hi and wanted to get to know you a little bit better. Well, I talk about an about face. Yesterday, we talked for some time about the passing of Ron Lafferty. And as the dust settles a little bit surrounding that, there are some real interesting questions. This was something posed by the Deseret News editorial board. And I'll just read just a little bit of it. Ron Lafferty's death by natural causes, while on death row, ought to spark an important statewide discussion about the death penalty, framed by these questions. And this is what I'd like to address in the next little while here. Get your thoughts, and hopefully, too, the thoughts of our former Attorney General, Mark Shurtleff. Why was this notorious killer allowed to sit in prison for 34 years, despite the evidence against him and a retrial that resulted in a second conviction? His last appeal was rejected by the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in August, and yet when he died, he did not have an execution date scheduled. Then this question, are there better ways to determine mental competency? This question, can the emergence of reliable DNA testing speed up the appeals process and lead to a quicker justice? Do Utahns still even want the death penalty as a legal option? And then this one, I always hate to boil it down to dollars and cents, but it comes up every time, every time. How expensive is it for society to execute somebody? And how expensive is it for society to give someone a life sentence? So the Deseret News asked, how much would taxpayers have saved in legal costs if Lafferty, like his brother Dan, had received a life sentence, and is the difference worth it? And then finally, can the death penalty be administered in a way that is humane and befitting a nation ruled by laws and not vengeance? That's something else that has come up over the years. Boy, there are still the old drawn and quarter crowd was watching a, it was Poldark the other night, and Dee and I were watching the episode, and someone was sentenced for treason. And even though the jury asked for mercy for this individual, and remember, this is, you know, late 1700s, early 1800s, kind of in that era after the American Revolution, and just right after the French Revolution. And the judge said, yes, death by hanging, but actually you will be hung by the neck, but not until you are dead. And then at that point, then all of the really, you know, horrific stuff, as if hanging wouldn't be bad enough, but then the really horrific stuff happens while you're still alive. There are people today who still, and I've had them call in on the old Doug Wright show and send me texts and emails, you know, that they need to pay, and they need to pay dearly for their crimes, and there almost isn't anything bad enough that we can do to them in order to somehow make ourselves, what, feel better and have justice be served. So there's a nationwide debate that is raging about lethal injections. Lafferty, I think, was the last, and Mark Shurtleff is joining me right now, our former attorney general. Wasn't he the last person on death row to have actually been able to make the decision on how to die, lethal injection or death by firing squad?
That's right. Well, he made the decision earlier, and then we did away with the death penalty in Utah. They gave the choice, so they asked him again. He said he wanted to now to go with the firing squad.
Yeah, and not with the death penalty, but that option for
the option
penalty.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mark, I really appreciate you joining me. I just posed the questions that were kind of thrown out there by the Deseret News, and maybe we can go through this because, you know, in my career and in your legal career, we've seen a lot of people on death row. I can remember when the Hi-Fi killers, and even though those crimes happened a long time ago, mm-hmm. and now the death of those two individuals that were on death row, they're quite a ways back in the rearview mirror. But I can remember everybody being so upset that it wasn't just years, it was decades. Because,
yes.
again, we're talking 20-plus years. But with Lafferty, it's add another decade and 4 years to that.
Yeah.
Why does it take so long, and should it?
Well, it should not, first of all. If we're going to have a death penalty, then we ought to use it. Clearly, I support, and I think every Utahn does, appeals, the ability to appeal, especially these days with all the DNA evidence coming out and all the new techniques and everything else and factual innocence coming out. It is important to have all those, both state and federal appeals. They should run concurrently, as far as I'm concerned, not one after the other, which is a big part of what happened in the Lafferty case. You go state, then federal, then back to state, then back to federal. Texas can do it in 5 years. I think we can do it in 5 years as well, provide all the appellate opportunities necessary. But if we're going to have the death penalty, then let's use it. It's no longer a deterrent, certainly.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting because I've watched my own attitude about the death penalty evolve a little bit. I always have, and my listeners have heard this over the years, I always have the Ted Bundy factor,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I think in most cases I'm leaning against death penalty. But there are people that are so heinous, they are so dangerous to themselves, to others, to society. And you look at from the West Coast to the East Coast, the pain that he caused, the fear that he caused, the death that he caused. I think of the one girl that did escape from his clutches at the Fashion Place Mall. And he was so reptilian and so evil that he practically did the impossible by getting out of that jail cell over in Denver. And they didn't fully realize, I think, who they had. But then he went on to cause all of the heartache and death down in Florida, where he finally did meet his maker. And so, boy, whenever I start getting really, and my listeners will be going soft on the death penalty, I think of Ted Bundy.
Well, I've evolved too. You know, the Attorney General's office handles all death penalty cases, and we had a full-time attorney, actually a staff, that just did death penalty appeals, including Lafferty's and others. It became very, very personal to me when I was called upon to give the order to execute Ronnie Lee Gardner.
Yeah.
You know, some people think it's the governor. In this state, the last person who gives the order is the attorney general, because we're waiting up at the last minute on the date of the execution warrant to have a Supreme Court stay.
Right.
And when we hear at 11:30 the night before the execution is to take place, that they reject any further appeals, then it's the attorney general. In fact, the only person that the warden at state prison will speak to for the 2 hours prior to the execution time is the attorney general. And in this case, I was called upon to do that, and it was very sobering. It became very, very personal for me, even though I didn't order him executed. I wasn't on the jury that found that he should die for his crimes. But when you actually give that order and 5 minutes later he's dead, it's sobering and it's personal.
Boy, how could it not be? And are there any pardon power, or is that only with the governor? Or does it even exist with the governor?
At that point, it doesn't exist. At that point, it is simply a final United States Supreme Court stay.
And that's it.
And we're in touch. We're in contact with them. And when we get the word, then I give the order. And in the months leading up to it, I attended all kinds of hearings. I sat right next to Ronnie Lee Gardner. He would talk to me. I remember probably the last hearing I attended, he came in and said, "How you doing, Mr. Shurtleff?" Kind of just open and friendly. He knew what was coming. And I said, I'm good. Thanks. How are you doing? Yeah. And he said, "Not too bad for a guy who's going to be dead in a month." I mean, the man was, he murdered people here. I was in law school here downtown when he broke out there at the Third District Court. And then he tried to kill an inmate while I was attorney general, stabbed him multiple times. I mean, he's a killer. Yeah. He wasn't going to change. The jury determined he should die, and I supported that decision.
Well, you know, it's the interesting thing. We need to take a break here, and we'll come back and talk more. But a lot of people, I don't think they take that next step. They figure once they're in jail, they're off the streets. Once they're in prison, and they're in prison for life, that the threat is gone. Well, the threat isn't gone.
It is not gone.
To the guards, right. It isn't gone to the inmates, it isn't gone to a lot of people. So when we come back, we'll continue our conversation, chatting with our former Attorney General, Mark Shurtleff. Mark, really, thank you so much for joining us today. On very short notice, I called Mark right before the show, and I appreciate you being here.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The afternoon insights and analysis continue. Here's Doug Wright on KSL News Radio.
Well, this is like the good old days. You know, Mark Shurtleff and I had so many great conversations. I turned to him often when he was a Salt Lake County commissioner. I turned to you when you were attorney general for 3 terms. Yep. And then, of course, you went through some rather, you know, tough and controversial times, and we've emerged on the other side of that, and I wasn't sure if we'd ever have this opportunity again.
Oh, I didn't either. I'm delighted by this. New studio, and here you are back. What is it, for stability? And
For good looks, I think, was the term.
Of course. Yeah, they made you shave your beard off, or was that already a decision?
You never know. But until Lee Lonsbury arrives here, it's me in the chair. I'm just kind of keeping it warm for Lee over the next little while. But I've always appreciated your insights, Mark, and it's always been so easy to chat with you. And sometimes, often, the issue is mental competency on death row and for those that are facing that kind of a penalty. Is there anything – this is one of those tough issues, because sometimes you go, how could you possibly be sane and do some of the things that we see? How do we maneuver that?
It's been a long and complicated and evolving issue of the law for a long time. And for your listeners, it's important to note that there are two issues on competency. One is, were they sane at the time they committed the crime? Did they know what they were doing? Can you suit not guilty because of their mental state at the time? And then there is the, are you competent to actually stand trial? And that's what the case has been mostly right now for the last 30 years almost now with Ron Lafferty has been, is he competent to stand trial? Meaning, does he understand the proceedings against him and can he participate with his lawyers in his defense? Regardless of what happened at the time of the crime, you still have this constitutional right to participate right. in defending yourself. And if you can't do that because of your mental competency, then you can't stand trial. Doesn't mean you get out. It means you stay until you become competent. And there are ways to do that right. by medication and so forth. But this one has been over and over again, different experts and what is not having competence. You know, it was interesting. I assume you read Under the Banner of Heaven, John Krakauer.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Where he really focused in on it. And I know, John, we talked a lot about the other situation with our friends, so-called friends down to the South. But he focused in, and it really was the issue here, where you have Ron Lafferty saying, I talk to God. Yeah. I receive revelation from God. And people saying, well, that means you're insane. Well, now what do we, especially LDS belief on revelation and the ability of any of us to talk to God or speak with him and receive revelation. Right. Does that make you insane? He had all kinds of other evil spirits that spoke to him, the travelers he called him and so forth, and whether they participated, and he claimed they would inhabit the bodies of the defense attorneys and prosecutors, judges, jurors, etc. Those were the things they have to keep going back and forth multiple times about, and ad nauseum, and to the point that I think that it was addressed multiple times and didn't need to be all the way. And we were getting close now. They just filed an en banc last month, I think, to the Tenth Circuit to challenge this latest ruling that he was going to be executed. But it was getting close.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. And then finally he died in the infirmary out there. Yep. You know, when I interviewed him, and it's 20 plus years ago, and a rather lengthy interview, not hours, but, you know, more than just a couple of minutes. And I remember Amy Iverson, who was my producer at the time, and I sat there. And, you know, it was interesting. The whole thing was interesting, but how sane he seemed. But there were moments when I'd ask him, especially when I'd kind of drill in on the crime itself and who was to blame. And I mentioned, was this revelation from God? And he never talked about that. It was always, no, you know, I made the decision not to murder Brenda or Erica. He always blamed that on Dan. Mm. But you'd see a little look in his eye. Something changed when he kind of got down to the nitty-gritty on some of those things. And I'm no expert, but we'd be just chatting kind of normally. He'd be telling a story, and then you just kind of see him start to spin a little bit. It was a real unique experience.
It was, and so it comes back to this whole, so what did we do? I mean, it costs, what, $1.5 million more per year? In other words, to keep him on death row as opposed to his brother incarcerated not on death row. And that's because of all the appeals, obviously.
Right, right.
I mean, conditions aren't that different as far as how much it costs to house them. But it's all the appeals. And so that's another question people ask. Is it really worth all that additional money, taxpayers' dollars, when you can't ever get to the execution?
Right.
And we've had murderers here on death row currently whose victims, who they didn't kill, or their family, even family members of people they've murdered, children. Yeah. Have died before justice for their parent was executed, if you will.
I know. It really is. And on one hand, I almost wonder about, you know, the term cruel and unusual is interesting. But, boy, sometimes I've argued with some of these folks, and some people have asked for it. What was it? Gary Arthur Bishop, I'm trying to remember which one at the end kind of went, no, this is the best thing for me.
Oh, yeah. I think that was him.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder if it's cruel and unusual just to drag this out over 34 years.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. That was one of the last, while I was AG, one of the appeals that Ron filed was that very issue that I think he was, at that time he'd been in 25, 26 years on death row. He said that was cruel and unusual punishment to keep him alive that long. A whole time wondering, you know, am I going to die? And that was rejected by D. Benson here, Judge Benson, as well as the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals about 2 years ago.
What about the one thing, and we're almost out of time here, Mark. I wish we had more time. But I've marveled at the fact that, and most of us have had the sad, sad, gut-wrenching experience of having a pet put down. Mm-hmm. Recently, I had a little dog I called Fat Boy. Just even today, I still kind of pine for him. But his life was done. It was inhumane to keep him alive.
Right.
And I took him to the vet, and while I cradled him in my arms, they just gave him an injection, and he just went to sleep. There wasn't a twitch. There wasn't a moan. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a bark. There wasn't a whimper. He went to sleep in my arms. Why can't we do that with a human being?
Well, and that's what the whole injection, lethal injection, but then this rumor spread around all these death row inmates around the country. They somehow get information that they that it's terribly painful, that they paralyze. You know, one of the first drugs is to paralyze them so they don't jerk and twitch and so forth, but that they're in horrible pain until they actually kill them. And that's been debated all the way to the United States. I've filed amicus briefs with other AGs with regard to this one issue, and that's why 2015 Utah went back and said, okay, we're going to reoffer the death penalty if it's shown that that
right.
lethal injection, it isn't as humane as we think. And I believe it is. I don't believe those rumors, but although, you know, that's how we firing squad executed Ronnie Lee Gardner. And if you want it quick, if it's quick and it's over with four bullets in the heart, it's like that. So, I mean, it sounds bloody and brutal and the whole world goes, ew, you know, Utah, what's wrong with you? You're brutal. But it is a quick way to end someone's life.
Yeah. Mark, your insights are always so important. Thank you for joining me here. And just a quick thought. What do you think the future is of the death penalty? I've mentioned my own evolution. I'm still in the category under the most extreme circumstances, but I've softened on it over the years.
Well, I'm there as well. It has to be the most extreme, and I just hope the legislature will come back and decide, look, if we're going to have it, let's have it. It can be a deterrent. If you think that you're never going to die, then this doesn't become. It certainly is a deterrent to that individual.
Yeah.
We talked about that. And yeah. They can't, will obviously never kill again. But they ought to do something. And at least let's run the federal and state appeals concurrently and move this thing along or be done with it. Or don't have it.
Mark Schertloff, always a pleasure.
My pleasure, Doug. Good to see you again. Good to be back in
good
with you.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Mark Schertloff, our former attorney general here at KSL. It's a Disney Plus day. Boy, we're kind of doing a little whiplash on topics here. But how are people embracing Disney Plus streaming today? That's coming up next.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.